The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Run in Place podcast. This is Logan Murdoch, and before we get to my partner in crime, Kareth Burke, I just want to send a special—I don't even know if "special" is the word—but rest in peace to Marty McNeil, a longtime writer in Sacramento. He used to cover the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. He was one of my OGs when I first got in the game. He was always there for me, always there with a story. A story usually filled with curse words, but he was always there, and he's been a mentor for a lot of people in this game, and I'm sad to see him go, man. So RIP to the OG Marty McNeil of the Sacramento, formerly the Sacramento Bee. And with that, we are into another edition of the Run in Place podcast. What's good, Kareth Burke?
Hey, how's it going? I'm sorry that we started off with a sad note about somebody that you called a mentor. Do you have a favorite memory of Marty?
Do I have a favorite? I have a lot of memories. They all kind of bunch together, and I hate when people say that, but they all kind of bunch together. He was always the guy that always somebody that I always read when I was up in SAC. My mom was in SAC. So I would always read his stuff, and I always read him on the Sacramento Bee. And then I got to meet him when I was 18 years old. And I was interning early as a kid, and he was one of the first people to actually like talk to me. You know what I mean? I will say that he was one of the first people to like, "What up, youngster? What up, young buck?" He was from Brooklyn, and he was every bit of Brooklyn.
Okay.
He was a big Mets fan, and he would always talk Mets. So he was always great. You know, he was always talking mess, always ragging on somebody, always, but it was always in good fun. And he was always somebody that I always had asked to for stories. Everybody knew who he was. Like Stephen A. Smith knows who he is. Howard Beck, obviously. Everybody knew this guy in Sacramento, and he was the OG. He was like Sacramento's OG. So,
yeah. You know, how long did Marty, I'm sorry, what was his last name?
Marty McNeil.
Marty McNeil. How do you know approximately how long he works at the Bee?
At least like 20 years.
See, that's so like rare now when you hear about all the layoffs at papers and that kind of stuff. Like these people who have been institutions in the community and on the sports scene, people who have been there for 20, 30, even 40 years at some of these papers.
Yeah.
Those folks are going away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and that's it. You got to remember the people who came before you and all they went through. And then even, you know, it's fun to hear what they do for the youngsters now. You know, like just a word from one of those people, like on your first day, your first week, it can make you feel included.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, sure. Those people are so valuable.
Especially when you're young and, you know, all the insecurities of being young and being an intern and not knowing anyone and not knowing what to say, what to say. And when, you know, when an OG sticks his hand out, that means the world to a young journalist. So, and he was one of the first people to do that. Him, Sam Amick, and Jason Jones were definitely mm-hmm. one of the first people to kind of take me under their wing. So, I always appreciate them.
Yeah. I mean, we have that a little bit with the length of time that Monty Poole has been in the community. And he's covered the Raiders, you know, but he's our Warriors OG right now. Like, I feel that way when I see Monty interact with fans or interact with players. Like, he has such a long track record. You know, like, you can tell that he's the Warriors OG right now.
Monty is for sure the Warriors OG. He's my OG. I tell him all the time. You know, Monty's just like, Monty, anytime you compliment him, he's going to brush it off. Like, no, it's all no big deal. But, like, Monty is, like, the one. And Now, I used to read him all the time, too, when I was growing up. I always used to – it's an honor to work alongside Monty. And it was also, like, to bring it back to Marty, like, it was an honor to just – him to know my name and to know who I was. I wasn't – I was just getting sound at that point. But for him to know who I was a big deal. So, RIP Marty Mack. Let's get to the pod.
Cool. Let's get to the pod because, actually, here you go, natural segue. Monty Poole – the Warriors insider got in touch with Bob Myers. You'll see some of those stories coming out. I think the big one out right now is that Monty discovered from Bob Myers that the Warriors will consider trading their lotto pick. And that lotto pick is going to be 1 through 5. You know, they're guaranteed to have that because the Warriors have the worst record in the league. That's 15 wins. So this is a huge pick for the Warriors, and there's potentially like a lot of different directions they could take it.
Yeah, I think that just like the fact that Bob said that on record that he would even consider trading it just shows what kind of draft this is. This isn't considered a historic draft. It's not considered a very deep draft. But so in turn, you know, with the top pick, you can trade it. And there's so many possibilities with this pick. If you like somebody that's like the Warriors, like somebody they were enamored with middle of the draft, they can trade down. They can trade for a player. So there's a lot of possibilities right now. I think that just speaks to like how the draft is considered right now.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right, because there's no transformational player here. Like there's no Zion Williamson in this group. There's no
John Morant.
There's nobody extremely hyped, and there's no like body of work, I don't think, to back up any of that hype. I mean, there's names out there like 1, 2, 3 who might go first, but I just without, you know, a really direct target or a player who absolutely fits the Warrior system, when there's no like star, in my opinion, in this draft, what do you do? And then when this is such a huge pick, but it's also risky, I would say, because in a pandemic, you haven't really had a chance to see a large body of work, right? You have like some regular season film of these guys, but you didn't get to see them play in March Madness. There was no March Madness. You don't get to see them right now in individual workouts. Those are not happening. You don't get to have a face-to-face with them. And we've talked a lot about how what you can see on film is different than what you can see when you meet somebody in person and you just get a sense of who they are, like what kind of spirit follows them around. We don't have that luxury right now. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that the Warriors are considering all avenues as far as what to do with this pick. And even if they were to make a move with it, to do something with this pick, like trade it, they could definitely do that because I was doing a little, you know, I was kind of reading back on what the Warriors did during the free agencies and that kind of stuff. They have, and the trades they make, the Warriors have stockpiled 13 picks through 2026. And in this upcoming draft, in addition to that lotto pick, they've got 2 2020 second round picks. Mm-hmm. The Warriors know how to make, they know how to find those diamonds in the rough, right? They've had some good second round picks.
Yeah.
So I feel like they've set themselves up very well to do whatever they want. Like 13 picks through 2026.
Yeah.
Ooh, you've got some options.
Yeah, for sure. And that's options to get late round picks like a Draymond Green or a Eric Paschal. Or it's to, you know, stockpile those assets into a trade. So, we'll see what happens with that. I think that, you know, Bob was, it was funny how like self-aware Bob was in this, in Monty's thing where he was like, yeah, I know this is probably going to be the headline.
He just wanted to make sure it was Warriors would consider a trade, not Warriors are making a trade, or like, not that they would trade this pick. Yes, they are media savvy. Bob knows what's up. And I think his thinking is always, I don't know, everybody has a laugh at what Joe Lacob said about light years. But when you're a GM, you've definitely got to play chess and you're trying to think 2, 3, 4, 5 moves ahead of your opponent. I think Myers has a good mind for that.
I think the biggest thing, though, is, like, I don't even think the Warriors know who they're picking yet. You know, I think that's another thing. I don't think the Warriors know exactly. It's so much time, you know, right now. I don't think they've logged in on a player yet. Even Bob saying this on record that he might trade it, that just shows how much uncertainty there is to what they're even going to do right now. I don't think that they really know exactly what I don't think that they've made a firm decision just yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And sometimes when those things happen, you start to hear a little bit more whispers. Maybe Monty's story would have been different. You know, like you're like, yeah, we're gonna go in this direction. None of that stuff is coming from the organization right now. Like, there's no information that's leaking out a little bit. Sources say, which kind of, you know, it could be the time of year. It could be this coronavirus, but it could also be like they don't know. And you need to do way more research. Even Steve Kerr talked about that in the podcast episode we had. Like, all he's doing right now, he said, is just looking at film of these guys, but film only shows one part of the picture. An important part, but only one part. Right. So, I don't know. What else don't we know, Logan?
We don't know when the league is coming back, but we do have a little bit of an idea.
Okay, could you summarize that?
So, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN said that he expects guidelines around the return of the NBA on June 1st. So there have been also reports by The Athletic that, you know, it could be a mid-June training camp and also a return to either The Athletic says it's firmly on that Orlando has is the city that is in the lead for a return in a city for a tournament.
Okay.
But Woj is expecting guidelines around June 1st. They're saying it could potentially be in Orlando or Vegas.
Orlando or Vegas.
Yeah, or
so
both.
That's like Disneyland or the Strip or both.
Disney World or the Strip.
Disney World. I always mix up world and land. I don't know which is which.
Land is in Anaheim. World is in Orlando.
World. Okay. Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Disney World. Okay. I've read a couple of things too. So there was that Woj and Zach Lowe thing. So the NBA is going to have some guidelines around June 1st because teams are doing some individual workouts right now. I won't even say teams are doing them. It's players who are using team facilities. That's starting to ramp up a little bit with the proper protocols in place. Like, it can't be, you know, coaches can't be there. It can't really be an organized workout. It's just being able to use some of the machinery that they once knew.
Right.
And then that same ESPN article mentioned maybe games would resume at the end of July, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the way that time is moving, like, that actually feels kind of soon. Like, cities are having their shelter in place orders, and some states are different than other states. June 1 is less than 2 weeks away if those guidelines are coming back. Like, this is starting to feel real. It's starting to feel closer. Mm-hmm. I'm down with it. But there's a whole, like, host of other questions now. Because what we don't know, Logan, is, are all 30 teams coming back? Is the league going to play out the end of the regular season? Does the league resume with playoffs? What does that mean for the Warriors? Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting wrinkle. What does it mean for players who went home out of the country? Like, yeah. That ESPN article mentioned that Luka Doncic is in Europe somewhere. He's not back. Or even, I was looking at this today, you know, we talked to Michael Mulder. He's in Windsor, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
The USA and Canada border is closed. It is closed until June 21st to non-essential traffic. What does Michael Mulder do? What do the Toronto Raptors do right now? Like, they're number two in the East. They've got to be a part of this. Is the NBA essential travel? I mean, if sports aren't happening right now, I think that I love my sports, but I think the consensus is it's not essential the way that going to a grocery store or getting healthcare is essential. So there are so many questions right now that makes this really, really difficult. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think if they come back soon enough in July, that they will have some regular season games. And the reason being is these teams need to tune up before the postseason. And also there's money at stake, you know, a lot of local deals, including the one that, you know, the Warriors have.
Yeah, TV deals.
Have TV deals that they want that they need to fulfill. So if that means you're going to do that in an AAU-like gym to get this bread, then that's what it is. And that's what it comes down to. And that's why ultimately both sides want to come back. Jared Dudley talked to, I guess, some Los Angeles reporters on Zoom. I was talking about, hey, man, like, we have families to feed too. You know what I mean? We do want to get back and make sure that we're putting this league in a place that is sustainable when, you know, this pandemic ends. So I think the Warriors and the NBA, or mostly the NBA, has just shown that, like, we're going to have to live with this virus, and we're going to have to play through this virus, and we're going to have we're going to have to not be, you know, we're going to have to play through it. We're going to have to get this bread through this virus, essentially.
I don't know how to react to that, because when you mentioned living through a virus, I remember the course of these stories. I remember the night that one positive test, Rudy Gobert, suspended the season. And that's what had to happen. I'm not disputing that that had to happen. One test, one player. And then later stories were coming out that like other teammates, other people in the Jazz locker room were sick. Like Donovan Mitchell was sick. He was asymptomatic. So there are things about this virus that you just don't know, and that we still don't know months later. Yeah. And then there was a story about Carl Anthony Towns. His mother has died from complications of COVID-19. His father had it but got better, but they were in the hospital and this was serious. So things about suspending the league, knowing that there's asymptomatic transmission, knowing that players have lost loved ones to this. There was also the story about Saeed, one of the NBA security guards. He lost his life to COVID-19. That story, that was a Chris Haynes story, by the way. I would suggest finding that one, reading it. It was sad. It's the things that he went through are terrible. And now we're going back to this idea that the league is going to return and have to be okay with some positive tests. There's a dissonance there that I don't understand, and I'm personally very uncomfortable with. I want hoops to return. This is my livelihood. But I also feel the need for like so much more information and understanding about what's happening right now. And to me, the risk is high, probably too high to come back right now. What do you think?
I think that, you know, to your point about Rudy Gobert, I think the NBA's stance is, well, we didn't have as many testing. We didn't know about the virus as much. We had no clue. And now we're going to have more testing and more resources to have behind it. Me personally, it's scary for sure. It's definitely scary. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how to go outside most days, but
yeah.
You know, I mean, we also know that we also, at least I knew at a certain point when they closed the league down, they were going to reopen at some point. You're not just going to have the NBA say, oh, man, we're just going to take this L because we're not going to let this virus just bankrupt us. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And that's a lot of businesses right now. Even California, who's done, you know, Gavin Newsom's done probably one of the best jobs in the country. As far as, you know, him and the Washington governor as well. They've done so great, but they're beginning to reopen amid some public pressure. And they're beginning to reopen the state as well. So at the end of the day, we live in a capitalistic society, and money's going to reign supreme. It just is what it is.
Yeah. I want the sport to come back for the players who have spent all season pursuing a championship. Like, for how hard that is, for the work they put in. And then you have to sort of extend that ring out from the players to the coaches. Then the ring gets larger with support staff. Then it gets larger with the families who will be involved. All of that's fine. And you do make a good point that there are some things that we know. I don't know if we know more about the virus, but there are mechanisms in place to deal with it better. You're right, like testing or contact tracing or kind of understanding how important social distancing is. That's that I understand, and maybe you make a plan to resume. But I know there's people listening being like, why is she afraid? Why are you living in fear and paranoia? And I don't feel like that's what I'm doing. I feel like I'm being cautious, and I feel like I want to be educated about this stuff. And I want to evaluate the risks. Like, I'm not afraid to leave my home. I just want to know, how is this going to impact my job and the other people that I'm around?
But I would say this, one more thing. I mean, I'd readily acknowledge that we both speak from a place of privilege, because we do have jobs that are seeing us through this right now. There's a lot of people in the league. It's not just the players that we're talking about that are losing bread. It's other people in the league that we personally, me and you see, but a lot of people don't see, that are facing furloughs and facing pay cuts and facing things to their livelihood that, you know, we don't really necessarily, you know, we don't see. And as months go by and the weeks go by, those people are like, man, listen, bump this virus. I got to go make a way for my family. And that's a lot of ways that, yes, the it's it's hard for people to hear it from millionaires and billionaires, but the sentiment is the same all the way down the line. Like, if you go a few weeks, no, I got to work. I got to make a living for my family. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. I do get it on that end as well.
Yes, people need to make a living. And I would say this about a grocery store worker too. I don't think the decision should ever have to be your health or your paycheck. That's like some kind of devil's bargain. I don't think any person needs to make. It is not a fair choice. It sucks that that's the way it is. I guess I just, you know, I want to be a well-read person, and I want to keep up to date with the stories. And like, I am personally concerned with the stuff that's coming out about young people having strokes as they recover from COVID-19, or like, just, we don't know yet what the long-term effects are, even in people that had no prior conditions, or people who were young, or people who like are otherwise healthy. You know what I mean? So I definitely feel a sense of caution about this, and like a wariness to come back while also really wanting it to come back. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel so torn in different directions, but sports are our livelihood. I want to get back to what I know and love, provided it's in the most safe situation. I guess that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And I can't make these decisions. I'm so thrilled I'm not the commissioner right now, because I would be, I just don't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do. And I guess, Logan, we're going to find out more information around June 1st about what the league is deciding to do.
When it comes to protecting your business, Bay Alarm brings the best. Like being on duty 24/7, 365, no matter what. Putting burglars out of business, just like they've been doing for over 70 years. It's one more way Bay Alarm puts the pro in protection. Because if your security's not the best, you're not secure. Go to bayalarm.com/NBC Sports for a special offer to all new business customers. Now, more than ever, Bay Alarm. ACL 28 TCL 880138.
All right. Do you want to talk about whether the Warriors now should come back? Because is that a different conversation?
I think it's more in line with the same conversation, right? Because, I mean, Rick Welts was very the Warriors COO. Rick Welts was very candid, even on the first day, like, yo, we're going to lose tens of millions of dollars if we don't, if we don't do this. So, the Warriors, in their eyes, yes, they should play. Yes,
they should play. In my mind, so I didn't approach that question from a financial standpoint. I completely understand.
That's funny, because the reason.
But you have to. No, you're right. Capitalistic society.
It always comes back to that.
Yeah.
Do you want 5 extra games to satisfy your TV deal? Yes, I do. So.
I mean, I guess I would want 5 extra games so people can get those paychecks. People who are really hurting can get those paychecks. Sure. So, yeah, it's more about the work, less about the entertainment factor, I think, as I answer this question.
It's going to be shaky. Not going to be great basketball when they do come back.
But, like, for the competition factor, the Warriors are 15-50. They have 17 games left. They have been eliminated from the postseason. Eliminated a long time ago from the postseason.
I don't think they play the rest of the season, though. I don't think that they play the rest of their 82-game schedule.
But that's what I was wondering. And it's like, I almost think, like, do you just start up the league and jump right into the postseason? Maybe. Can that help you eliminate numbers? Do you take the bottom teams and be like, hey, we don't need you right now? Also, in, like, a safety conversation, it's just not worth it.
But, you know? It always comes back to the bread. Like,
you're right. Like, yeah, it's always about the bread.
Like, oh yeah, it's cool to go back to the playoffs, but what about all these teams that need their local TV money? That's
true. But then maybe there's those teams on the bubble too. If you're like one or two games out, and you want to, let's say you have the Warriors on the schedule, you want to play the Warriors because you believe that's going to be a W for you, and then you fight your way into the postseason. So it's almost like the Warriors need to be the pawn that the other pieces jump over, you know, as they're trying to jockey for the postseason. So I think Steve Kerr said something like, I don't know if we're coming back, but if the league asks us to, we'll be good soldiers. So I think they're preparing to.
Do you just say, hey, like, we're just going to try Curry out, Steph, for like 20 minutes. And then, you know, because like we have the Warriors and all these other teams have nothing to play for but bread. Like, the other teams that are like mathematically out of the playoffs and things like that. Yeah. I know they have competitiveness and everything like that, but they literally have nothing to play for in 5 games or 5 to 7 games.
You know what? And I wonder if fans would, I don't know. And I wonder if fans will hear that, because all of the dialogue we were having at the end of the season was how valuable these games were to watch Steph and Andrew Wiggins play alongside each other and build chemistry. And now we're going to turn around and say, like, there's no point in that. Like, I can understand why fans would be ticked off about that. I guess you have to find meaning in your own ways in crummy situations, mm-hmm. which the Warriors would do. But I don't know. Do you think Steph wants to trot out there for 20 minutes and it's in a season that doesn't matter? I don't know.
Well,
coming off this huge injury.
I mean, he was really juiced to play against the Raptors and balled out during stretches. So, and that game didn't, for all intents and purposes, did not matter to the Warriors.
Yeah. I mean, that's a finals rematch against the team that ultimately won the championship. And Steph had to be so hungry to get back on the court after 3 or 4 months away with that broken hand. I mean, he could have played. Come on, it could have been the Kings, I think, and he would have tried to ball out.
Oh, hey, the Kings are – hey, listen, it's funny now because, like, they could have played the Kings as now. They could have played the Warriors because the Warriors are trash.
Yeah. Yeah? The Kings so, are I'm not – oh, I'm not sure.
In postseason.
So, there's 17 games left. I have no idea if the Warriors are going to play them or not. But I do want everybody to get their money. Because doesn't this impact the money that the league has now at the end of this season? Doesn't that impact what happens with the CBA going forward? Like because there's revenue sharing, if the whole league takes a hit on this money, doesn't the pool of money shrink for the next CBA?
The next salary cap. You're talking about they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars then.
Yes. It behooves everyone to get back on the court.
Money is king is going to bring them back. But so – Yeah, so the next other we have is a little injury.
Hang on. Say it again.
The next topic we have, Kareth, is I don't know if that's an edit point. Keep that, Brandon. Kevon Looney underwent surgery to repair a core muscle in Philadelphia earlier this week.
Kevon Looney, one of my favorites, foundational piece of the Warriors. Only 24 years old.
Yeah, there's a little cracks in the foundation as of late. But how do you feel about this news? Is Kevon going to come out? Is he ever going to be healthy? Like, what's going on with Kevon?
No, and I know, and God, I feel for him because 24 years old, he's a big man, right? So the strains on his body are tougher. He's had both hips done, surgery on both hips. He was injured during the playoffs last year. Didn't he have like a rib or like a sternum cartilage thing?
Yeah.
Then it comes out that he's got neuropathy, which is a condition that I used to understand what it was. I need a refresher, I guess. Like, it's just, it's not something that heals. It's not like a start to finish injury. It's a condition that he has to maintain, the neuropathy. And then that impacted his like abdominal muscles. So I'm glad he got the surgery, whatever he needs to feel better. He got to have it like, presumably while he's been resting up, and then there's, you know, a few months left where he can rest up. So I just so badly want him to be healthy. It feels like he's taken like punch after punch after punch when you see how hard he works to maintain his body. And I want him to have some peace. Can he please have like an 82 game season? I just want him to like, he's worked so hard and I want him to be able to show that work on the court without any setbacks.
My man, he is frustrated. You could tell. He would play games in full uniform after games. Like, he would play and have a full-on workout in his full uniform after games when he was hurt. He was not playing well. It was tough to see Kevon play this year. It was very tough. And it didn't start off well at all with the neuropathy. He didn't know what was going on. You know, he thought it was just a hamstring or something like that. It was way more than that. He never got his footing. Luckily, he signed his deal when he did.
Good for him. Get your bread.
Get your chicken. And so, we'll see, man. I hope that Kevon does well. I hope that he can get back on track, but it's not looking good right now.
I know. I don't like it. But may this be a step in the right direction for him. May he heal in all the ways he needs so he can be the fullest Kevon.
So, Kareth, you ready to be messy?
You want to get messy?
I'm going to get messy.
Yeah, let's get messy.
You know, like, who likes to get messy in public?
The Rockets?
The Rockets. So, speaking of the Rockets, Daryl Morey said that the Rockets were a hamstring away from having a title. And he's recycling these arguments that Chris, they would have won if Chris Paul was healthy.
Did a hamstring miss 27 consecutive three-pointers? Or was that the team?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't know. Did a hamstring have a lead in the second quarter? Like a 14-point lead, I think? They definitely had the lead at halftime.
Yeah.
In 2018? Did a hamstring do that?
I would just say it speaks to the Rockets' self-proclaimed what was the word that Maury used? Obsessiveness of the Warriors. They are obsessed with the Warriors.
Okay.
They are. I mean, it is what it is. And that's not a knock, because if you want to go, or if you want to be something, you have to beat the best. And they were the biggest adversary for the Warriors. They played the Warriors the toughest during this run. They deserve to feel like, oh, man, if it would have went this way, we could have won. Because they were that close on both. Yeah. But, I mean, that was a great team. That 18 Rockets team was a great team. However, they also had a 3-2 lead in the Western Conference Finals and squandered it. They had a Game 7 at home and squandered it. They had James Harden and squandered it. Like, you have – that's the mark of a champion. When you have someone on the ropes, you beat them. And the Rockets, without Chris Paul, had a lead on the road in Game 6, squandered it. Had a lead at home in Game 7, squandered it. So every time whenever the Rockets do this, it's always just a bit of a laugh, because also 2019 had a Game 6 elimination game at home without Kevin Durant. Did not make it happen. So, you know, you could say all these things, but they were just always the first losers. It just is what it is.
I do notice who's the first to point fingers at everything other than themselves about why they didn't accomplish something, right? Like, oh, it was the fouls. You know, we got whistled the wrong way. Oh, it was the injuries. Now, I will say this, because
I mean, Warriors fans do the same thing, right? Like,
I was just going to say, we play the same damn game. And I know I've said on this podcast, I think the Warriors would have won the championship if Klay and KD weren't hurt, which I don't think is that much of a bombshell statement. But yes, we all play the, if only these injuries hadn't happened, this outcome would have been a guarantee. So you're right. We can turn that lens on ourselves too. And that's what fans do all the time. It's coulda, shoulda, woulda with injuries. I just think, I think when it comes to the Warriors, like, couldn't you say the same thing? Like, the Warriors have said, well, if Andre was healthy in that series, then the Warriors could have won it in 5. Like, every team always thinks.
No, I don't think the Warriors could have won it at 5 if Andre was there. Andre, I mean, I think that
Rockets. That's what Andre said. That's what Steve said. I mean, that came out after the fact. If we had Andre,
that's fine. That's cool. They can say whatever.
Yeah, that's a messy fire.
I know the series that I watched. And no team pushed the Warriors like the Rockets did.
You're right.
No team. Yeah, you're right. No team went into Oracle without a fear or anything. I got to give the Rockets credit. They were not scared of the Warriors, and they weren't. But they were first losers. This is what it is.
First losers. Yeah, the Rockets play the Warriors very well. Those series are a lot of fun. And as it happens to be, as the Warriors dynasty rose, the Rockets always had to go through the Warriors, and they couldn't quite do it. And yeah, like I feel for, you know, getting James Harden an MVP in his prime, and, you know, can't take that all the way to a championship. I get it why these fan bases love to bicker about this stuff. I do. I know that we play a role in this. I do. There you go. But that might be all the mess I want today. Do you have anything else on this one?
Well, you were ready to go. That was messy.
I don't know. 27 consecutive missed three-pointers. I don't think that's not one player. That is just – that's like God with his thumb on you, pointing down. That's such a weird happenstance.
Be a messy, Karen.
That's so strange. Like, that is some weird, like, basketball God thing. I don't know how that happened. Is it all the Warriors defense? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So we can still get messy. There was an article that the homie Josh Schrock did for NBC Sports Bay Area. You should go check that out on the online and wherever you can find links. That he wrote on the top five teams the Warriors fans would hate to see win the NBA Finals.
Hate to see them win?
Hate to see – that the Warriors fans would hate to see win in the NBA Finals.
Are the Rockets on that team? Because I wouldn't hate to see the Rockets win. I wouldn't hate it.
We know. You follow Warriors fans. I follow Warriors fans. There's a lot of –
wouldn't the Rockets think, like, with the Warriors so depleted this year, wouldn't the Rockets think, finally, it's our time, finally, and maybe they win a championship?
One would think, but here's the list. The L.A. Clippers, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Milwaukee Bucks, or the Houston Rockets.
The who? The Houston Rockets?
Houston Rockets, yes.
I don't hate any of those teams.
I mean, you're not a Warriors fan, Karen.
No, I am a reporter who covers the Warriors. I get it. But, like, I'm trying to put myself in fan shoes.
You also know the pulse of the fan base.
In fan shoes, I bet a lot of them would be cranky to see Houston win. Which, whatever. But, like, I would be really excited if the Bucks won. Like, that team looks like the Warriors – if you put them in a mirror, like the way they shoot threes, the talent on that roster, the pace at which they play, a young and exciting player like Giannis.
The Warriors fans think they're going to be Giannis, so they would say they would try not to have the Bucks win.
Yeah, well, that just reminds me of the Warriors a few years ago. I'm not going to hate on an upstart team that looks just like the Warriors. No. The Clippers, I don't hate either. I really like watching Kawhi.
You're not a Warriors fan. We're talking about Warriors fans.
I can only talk as me.
We're talking about the Sam Estefari. Not talking about you. I'm going to say, this is what I think. I think it's a mix between the Lakers and the Rockets. Nah, it's a three-way tie between the Lakers, Rockets, and Clippers. Because if any three of those teams win, oh my goodness. I don't know if the Clippers have a fan base, but the Rockets fans would make the Warriors insufferable. Like, it would be like, yeah, we got one, yeah. You know what I mean? If the Lakers win, I mean, the Warriors fans are always used to the Lakers beating or winning. So,
I mean, if the Rockets won, the Warriors would put all sorts of, like, footnotes on it. We're like, yeah, you won in a season where we didn't have Clay or Steph or KD. So, go ahead. It would be a pat on the head. It'd be like, okay, y'all, you have this one. Go ahead. Good job.
This is the messiness I wanted, Kara. Thank you.
That's what Warriors fans would do. I wouldn't hate on the Rockets winning. I don't know. The Clippers are excited. I liked watching the Clippers this year more than I liked watching the Lakers this year.
KB.
What?
When I talk about you as a fan, we're talking about the Warriors fan base.
Just put me on mute then, Logan. Just put me on mute.
All right. KB's on mute. She's taking an absence. This is the three people I say. And if the Rockets win, that would be hilarious. That would be hilarious. I would love that. I would just love to see the discourse on there. Oh, but also, we can't discount LeBron winning. If LeBron wins and LeBron stands like Dragonfly Jones, the Jethro Jenkins, the homie Josiah, King Josiah 54, they are going to – oh, my goodness.
You wanted to name some names right there, didn't you? No, you're right. I think Warriors fans would get really crusty about LeBron winning another one.
Oh, man. The Brigade of Bron fans. It's just going to be – it's going to be like 2016 all over again. Mm. Bron fans are not going to care that it was a pandemic year. The Warriors fans are going to – I'm excited to see it, man. I'm excited to see it.
Oh, no, every fan base, there's a whole set of excuses that every fan base possesses just to get by about why they didn't win or why they did win or, yeah.
I'm going to say if the Lakers win, it's going to be great. Because no one, like, LeBron stands are so polarizing and the Warrior fans are so polarizing that's my answer. If LeBron wins a title, then the Warriors fans are going to be insufferable. And it's just going to be a war.
Everything we thought we knew about this season, I wonder if it comes back the same. Or did this layoff, this coronavirus layoff, change things that we don't even know yet? Like just people's mindset about stuff, people's health, where their bodies are at, their will.
Are you
will
talking about the players or the fan base?
No, I'm talking about the players. I'm talking about the players. Like the Lakers are number one in the West, the Bucks number one in the East. Are they to come back in that same form?
No, I think so. I mean, this is going to be bad basketball, but I think so.
What does it do when players know that they have an 82-game schedule and they work all season long to peak at the right time, and then that calendar was taken from you? Does that kind of move the ground underneath your feet? Those are the kind of things that I'm wondering about. Like, what is their muscle tone, right? What's their muscle tone like? How much have they been drinking in quarantine? Are they eating well in quarantine? Are they working out the same? There's like so many things that have changed. I don't know if what we think we know in the standings now is going to carry forward when the league resumes.
That would open the door for the Houston Rockets, that for sure.
Houston Rockets, NBA champs. Great job, guys.
Yep. All right. So with that that was fun.
That's the soundbite. That's me. Houston Rockets, NBA champs. That's the one that's going to fly around the internet.
All right. So, man, this is the first time we had a guest in a while, man. I'm glad that, you know, we were able to.
I know.
We took our show back.
It's nice to shoot the stuff with you, Logan. I always love talking hoop with you.
All right, man. So. If you need to get to our podcast, we're on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you can get your podcast. Art19, shout out. Be sure to subscribe, man. See all our content at NBCSportsBayArea.com.
Run and plays!
Run and plays. Peace.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.